healthradio.fm. I'm your host, Tamula McNabb. I'm at the health show in Vancouver, and I have with me Naomi Wolfman, and you're from Embrace. And what interested me about your company was I read that we talked about continence or incontinence for people, and it's a very big topic. I mean, you look at TV nowadays, and there are a lot of women who are in their late 40s, 50s, and 60s who are you know, having to wear protection in their underwear to take care of their incontinence. What is going on with women today that it's become a problem?
Thank you for having me, Tammy Lynn. Incontinence is either bladder or bowel. It pertains to people from pediatrics to 105. Incontinence does not have an age per se. However, we do see increased numbers in middle age or people in institutions, for example. Throughout Canada, bladder complaints are about 10% of population suffers with bladder complaints. And bowel complaints, about 5% of population. Now, this is only reported.
People don't talk about it, right? I mean, it's an embarrassing subject for sure.
That's true. It keeps a lot of people in the house and basically marginalizes them. However, incontinence infiltrates through the very fabric of life, through everything that someone does from early morning to night and next morning. In terms of ratio, men to women, 20% would be men suffering with incontinence and 80% women. And that could be possibly because of two reasons. One, the pure anatomical position of instructor that the organs are situated. The other may be that women usually tend to report these things more often. Incontinence is number one reason for accepting someone to a nursing home.
The number one reason.
Number one reason, correct.
That's shocking. But I guess if you think about it, I mean, it's a problem.
We all went through toilet training when we were about 3 and 4 years old, and we really thought that that's it for the rest of our lives. We don't have to do anything to our pelvic floor, and that's not true. We have muscles that can be worked just like your biceps, just like your triceps. We can tone those muscles and really use our own bodily resources to prevent, which is so strong about prevention, prevent any symptoms from arising or prevent any symptoms from worsening.
Well, let's talk about what you do. So we know that it's a problem in society. We know that it's more women than men. What and people, it's the number one cause to go into care. What do you do with your company?
When we receive phone call from an interested person, first of all, it's a problem that the person wants to be proactive to do something about. And so they're quite familiar with what hasn't worked, then they've probably tried many, many different ways of taking care of this problem. They know what doesn't work. So one of the things that doesn't work is people restrict their water intake, for example. And that will actually cause more problems. It would cause concentrated urine that would give someone spasms. Now, those spasms we interpret as urgency, so we want to go to the washroom more often.
So here we're trying to not go to the washroom, and by not drinking fluids and all the things that affects us, I mean, it shrinks your brain, it causes a number of problems in your whole body, but now it's also triggering spasms in your bladder, which makes you feel like you have to go more. So it does the reverse thing.
Exactly. So I do advocate drinking water, of course, depends on any chronic conditions that one might have. And I'm mostly thinking of heart failure, where people usually have a fluid restriction, such as 1,200 milliliters or 1,500 milliliters. And people want to do such a great job when doctor asks them to limit their fluid intake to that number, either 12 or 1500, that they end up not drinking as much. And so that creates more problems. They do not want to retain that fluid, which is what usually happens with heart failure. So what someone could do who has a chronic condition such as heart failure is actually divide the 1,200 milliliters or 1,500 milliliters between bottles, let's say, on the counter, and took two-thirds of that amount to be water, just free water. Drink from the moment you wake up in the morning till about 2 to 3 hours before going to bed. Just a little bit, sip, sip, sip.
What other things? Are you an advocate of supplements at all? Are you telling people to do exercises? What else are you recommending people do?
The pelvic floor exercises are very important in toning the pelvic floor. And unfortunately, is that
Kegel, the same as Kegels? Like this right here? That one?
That's exactly it. And rather than tightening our whole self, we want to tighten very locally, and we want to tighten only the pelvic floor. So as you see in this diagram, we have the pubic bone and the tailbone here, the coccyx. Well, in between, we have a series of muscles that when you contract one muscle, namely the large or pubericalis, the back end, the rectum, then everything tightens together and pulls from the front to the back.
So it's a very large muscle between the pubic bone and your tailbone. There's the bladder, there's the uterus, there's the rectum, there's a lot going on in between. So you're saying by doing these exercises, I'm helping a number of different areas of my body.
A number of different areas, because as you activate the larger muscle, everything is being pulled back from the front to the back, and all the sphincters that are involved, they work as a team. So you not only hypertrophy and strengthen the inner, the outer sphincters of urethra and rectum, but you also create that hammock and tone those muscles that work as a team together.
I'm doing exercises right now. Did you know that? You can't even tell that I'm doing it.
Exactly, and that's where one wants to find themselves when you do functional exercises. You would be speaking with someone, and you would do the exercises rather than tightening the whole body or not breathing. There are two conditions to the pelvic floor exercise, and one is to breathe and to breathe diaphragmatically, and to really feel that your lungs are filling with air from the bottom up. The other condition is to tighten only the muscles in the area and not any other accessory muscles, such as the abdominals, all the gluteals, all the inner thighs. We want to do, again, such a good job that when the muscle is weak, then we want to help it with the helper muscles.
What an interesting topic. And let me tell you, it affects a lot of people, and I think it's a very worthwhile topic. If people want to find out more about Embrace, what is your website address?
It's www.embrace-cs.ca.
So it's www.embrace-cs.ca. Yeah.
Yes. Want to mention using biofeedback. I do use biofeedback with finding the correct muscles. Someone would access the correct muscles for the strengthening of muscle fiber in the pelvic floor.
So through biofeedback, you can see what muscles are working, not working. You can help and strengthen those muscles. Naomi, thank you so much for being on healthradio.fm. You did a great job.
Thank you very much.